Hey everybody, it's Dean. Welcome to our first Money Making Websites Academy call for April. Happy Easter coming up here. Kind of exciting stuff going on here at World Headquarters. I wanted to share some of the things that we've got going on. And, you know, if you've been following along at home, you know it's been kind of exciting around here because we've got a little, I like to call it my little laboratory now going, where we're actually running the livinginwinterhaven.com website right here under our direction. We've got Lillian downstairs running everything out of our office here, and it really is becoming the perfect little laboratory because I really get to see everything that's happening, and we're kind of building a really cool team concept here where you know, we're breaking down things into just collectively as the team in the before unit, the during unit, and the after unit. And of course, Lillian is here running the before unit and the after unit for Julie. So we've got this great opportunity to kind of observe what's happening and to make sure that everything happens on schedule and to make sure everything happens, you know, according to exactly the way that I would want it to be run, exactly the way that I would run it if I was running it. And so that's kind of been a really exciting thing. And in the last couple of weeks, I think since our last call, what we've added now to the team is a showing agent. And this is someone who is a licensed real estate agent who the only role that they have on the team is actually showing properties. This is a person who is in a, you know, a salaried position where they're getting paid just for the role of showing homes. They're not getting paid commissions. They're getting paid hour. I don't know if that's the difference between salary and hourly, but they're getting paid hours. They're getting paid a fixed number of hours each week to show homes. And so it's really a great situation to see this all coming together right now. So the team, you know, is really made up of four people right now, where there's Lillian, who's in the role of managing and running everything to do with livinginwinterhaven.com. She runs the, she does the seven-step connection process with everybody, and she's doing an incredible job of being able to, you know, connect with nearly everybody. I think there's probably a couple of people now that she hasn't been able to connect with, but virtually everybody she's connecting with. No more am I satisfied to let you guys slide with saying that you can only get in touch with half of the people. I know that's not true because now I see it happening right here. And, you know, it was funny because yesterday I went downstairs and we were talking and Lillian had just gotten in touch with somebody and, you know, she said, it's funny, you just follow that process and you connect with people. You just send the emails, follow those seven steps and people connect back with you. So, you know, the biggest thing that if I could impart that to you is to don't give up after the first or the second step. Follow it all the way through and do all seven steps in that seven-step connection process because it may be the seventh step before somebody gets back to you, or it may be after the seventh step and after they've received your welcome package. You know, that we've had that happen a lot where Lillian will go through the whole seven-step connection process with somebody, we'll go ahead and send them out the welcome package, and then they'll call or then they'll send an email after they've gotten the package to connect with Lillian. So don't give up on that. And, I, you know, we mentioned in February at the Internet Academy here in Orlando that we had done some mystery shopping. You know, we took a percentage of everybody kind of randomly and sent out somebody who went and asked for a guide to your area and filled in all of their contact information with a phone number, requested the second highest price range in whatever area you are to for every indication to look like and act like a five-star process. And our intention was to monitor what happens in that seven-step connection process, how many people went through all seven steps, how many people actually sent the welcome package. And, you know, those numbers were not very impressive. I mean, a lot of people went through the first step and maybe the second step. Very few people went ahead and sent the welcome package or did any more than the first or second step. And I guarantee you that that sort of inattention is costing you money. It's definitely 100% costing you money to not follow up and try and connect in every way that you possibly can with those people by doing all seven steps. So that's surely the number one piece of advice that I would have to convert more leads is to connect with more people. And, you know, the number one way to connect with more people is to do all seven of those steps. Don't give up. You know, organize yourself. Even if it's just you, if you don't have the luxury of having somebody like Lillian to do all seven steps, then it's a, you know, it's pretty easy for you to just use the system that I've given you, which is the simplest, absolutely simplest way for you to do it, which is the two-pocket folder with reprinting off the leads and circling the seven steps as you do them. That's the easiest way. Even if you can't do follow-up every day, when you do it, just make sure that you're doing the next step for everybody. So I would challenge you to really look at your connection process, really look at what you're doing there and see how can you make an improvement in your connection. And by the way, that two-pocket folder is exactly the way that Lillian does it. If you were to sit here and watch Lillian do that seven-step connection process, you'd see that she's not doing anything unique or different than exactly what I've laid out for you. It's just that she knows that that's how we do it, and she knows that at any time I'm going to pop down and sit right in that chair behind her and see what's going on. And so we're really, really, really seeing an incredible connection rate. And now this is good for you because I know what's possible now, and I can keep imploring you to really improve what you're doing in your connection rate. Some exciting things start to happen when you have that high of a connection rate is that you get to bond with more people. There's so many people that Lillian is in dialogue with that are that she's never met, never even some of them talked to on the phone, but are very excited about the chance to come and meet Lillian when they actually come down. So that role on our team is really being, I would say that is operating at optimal levels. I mean, we're running, we've set the budget for AdWords at $40 a day. I don't think we're spending that much. I think we're ending up around $30 a day or whatever the maximum available is. And knowing that we're building that asset, we've got people who are popping out all the time. We've got people coming from out of town to look at homes. And it's all starting to fall into place. And now with the addition of Penny as the showing agent, we've got the opportunity to, or the capability to work with more people. We've got the capability to show homes to people. We've got people constantly requesting the tours, the daily tours, or inquiring about seeing, you know, some specific homes whenever we send out the Market Watch emails. And that's something that Lillian is doing every week. We've, like, without fail, we've got three separate weekly emails going out where we have our flagship Market Watch email, which goes out on Wednesdays, gives people all the updates of all the new homes that have come on the market, and that goes to everybody who has come into the Living in Winter Haven site. Then we also have two specialty ones that go out, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. We do a lakefront Market Watch, which is just lakefront homes in Winter Haven, and we've been driving that by doing Craigslist ads to get people to come to a website that we set up called lakefrontweekly.com, which is just like bank-owned weekly, except it's all about the lakefront homes. So we've got that subscriber list is growing, and we're sending out properties every every week. And, you know, exciting things start to happen when you couple that with the Getting Listings program that we're doing for Lakefronts now. We're 4 months, this is the fourth month now into just mailing the Getting Listings postcards to the 2,000 lakefront homes here in Winter Haven. And, you know, exciting, when I mentioned, I think on our last call, about this idea of the twin advertising technology that Molson had invented for their beer, to advertise in one publication for women and then to advertise in another publication for men. And, you know, we're doing that same thing. We're now, we're sending the Getting Listings postcards to find and build a list of people who are going to be selling their lakefront homes. We've got over 100 people now on that list of future lakefront home sellers. And now, yesterday, within 1 hour of each other, we got an email from somebody who is a Lakefront MarketWatch subscriber saying that they're looking for a home up to $375,000 on a lake here in Winter Haven. And then literally 1 hour later, we got an email from a lady who was responding to our MarketWatch email saying, I don't have a house. I'm not looking for a house. I have a house to sell. I've got a house on Ruby Lake, you know, however many bedrooms, bathrooms, with a boat dock and or a boathouse and a dock, and it's around $375,000. And it was just so funny to see within an hour that kind of thing happening. That's exactly what you're going to be able to do, is be like a market maker, you know, where you've got people who are looking for homes and you've got people, a list of invisible homes that are going to be potentially coming on the market that nobody else knows about, and being able to match those people up. It's very exciting. So we're starting to get some, we've got a couple of lakefront listings right now. We've got a couple of more people who are going to be listing imminently. We've already got some offers coming in on one of the lakefront homes now. So everything is starting to fall into place here. And having that sort of team concept in place is really setting the groundwork, setting the foundation for being able to go to the next level. So let me describe the rest of the team here. So we've got Lillian running those things, the before unit, living in Winter Haven, the getting listings program, sending out all the MarketWatch emails, doing all the connecting and bonding, getting people to the point of where they actually want to start looking at homes, and then turning them over to Julie. Then Julie is making all the connections with people who are ready to go right now, arranging to, you know, for a time when they want to actually start looking at homes, figuring out which homes to show them. And then Penny is able to go out and show the homes. And again, Julie's paying an hourly rate for just that role, just that position, where all she's doing is going out and showing properties, which frees Julie up from having to run around all the time showing houses, which was the most time-consuming thing that she was doing. So we've added that capability there and done it for, you know, a rate that is less than what it would cost in opportunity cost for Julie to actually go and do that herself. Now, so there's two licensed realtors in that showing position there. And then when they find a house that they would like to buy, then Julie will do the contract and negotiate everything with the buyers. And then we have Cindy, who's also a licensed realtor, but doesn't necessarily use the license portion. That's not her primary purpose. She can slide in and show a home, or she can, you know, do something that requires a license, but it's not the primary role that she has. She handles all of the escrows, all of the, you know, contract preparation, all the listing management, all of that stuff that would be done by an unlicensed assistant or an administrative assistant. It's just that she is licensed. And this team right there, that little organization is really like exactly where we want to be for poised for growth here. This is the Basecamp One team. This is the team that can get to a higher level of production than Julie and Cindy were able to do on their own. But with that, it's interesting for me to observe the growing pains, not pains, but the growing to do with the cost of growth, the implementing these things. Like the things that we're doing are, you know, it's not inexpensive to grow like this, but it is certainly proven to be an opportunity to multiply money. But the multiplication comes on the long term. If you look at this 6 months, 12 months, 18 months from now, it's the upstart costs of doing the AdWords, of spending $900 a month to mail the getting listings postcards to everybody, spending another couple of hundred dollars a month to mail the newsletters to everybody, paying the salaries of Lillian and Penny before they've had, before you can have a direct attribution to the things that they've done. And it was very interesting because, you know, you look at it and pretty soon you get up into the, you know, $6,000-$8,000 a month of expenses that you have, and you start to think, wow, that seems like a lot, and you start to kind of feel a pressure to correlate the current expenses with the current income. And what you're really looking at, the mindset that you want to have, is that you're looking at it as the creating the capability to do more than you're doing right now. It's not something where you can immediately jump to the production level that is, you know, commensurate with what you've got, what you're spending. There's no way to immediately justify that investment. And so it was interesting because we had a nice conversation about it. And, you know, it's something that the only reason this is happening is because I have a 15-year relationship with Julie Matthews. I've known her for all that time. Nothing but good things have come from our relationship of working together. She sees everything that goes on. She knows what's possible, and she's almost like blindly trusting in what I say to do. And she's been in real estate for over 20 years. She's a real estate investor who buys and sells and flips several properties a year and has, you know, done that for a lot of time and understands the value of investing capital to get a return. And we were talking about it here in Winter Haven. You can buy homes for you can buy a home for $50,000 and you can put $15,000 into it and you can sell it for $80,000 and make $15,000 in that time. And I said to her, you know, imagine what if you were to think about this as investing in a property. You know, if you knew that you could invest in a property for $50,000 right now, which is way more than what she's going to be, you know, investing in growing the team here, growing this concept and growing the marketing. But the mindset is the same. Is if you look at the cost as a one-time upfront expense. If you were to invest in a property that you could buy for $50,000 and you couldn't sell it for 18 months, but in 18 months you could sell it for double what you paid, would you do that right now? Would you be willing to put the $50,000 into that property? And of course she would, and of course you would too. And so when you look at that, it's like it makes the investment it puts it in perspective. I mean, we're seeing now, as I'm doing all these Project Cyrus interviews with the people who now have been in for their first year with us, and I'll be doing a whole nother series of interviews here this month, because now we've had more people who've graduated within a year, that, you know, the minimum multiple that we've seen is 7 times. And most of them have been in the, you know, 17, 18, 20, 34 times multiple. And so when you look at it like that, if you take the 18-month view from money that you're investing today and separate that from having to get an immediate return on that money, it's a certainty that if you look at the 18-month view, that you're going to at least double the money that you have spent. I would be completely disappointed if you only doubled the amount of money. Yet we look at, if you were to do that with an investment property, you would feel pretty good about that. I mean, you'd feel that that was a good investment, that you spent that $50,000 and you got to sell it for $100,000, and you'd be thrilled about that. But here we've got something where if you take that same amount of money, you invest it in building a team, building the infrastructure, building the capability to do the next level of business that your market will sustain, then you've got the opportunity to not double that money, but to, at a minimum that I've seen, 7 times that money, or 17 times that money, or 30 times that money. So it's a different approach, but it certainly helps with your mindset to kind of think about investing in growth more like a real business would think about it, making a capital acquisition, you know, almost like thinking about building your team and ramped up marketing as investing in a machine. If you owned, say, a medical clinic, or Julie's husband owns a veterinary clinic, and I said, you know, if Mike and his partners were to buy an X-ray machine or some diagnostic machine that cost $50,000, but they would be able to, after, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months, be able to bill $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 worth of revenue from this machine, they would happily do that. And you don't expect that you're going to get the full repayment of the capital that you've invested in the immediate first month that you start with it. So that's just an approach that might help you mentally if you kind of are thinking about growth, but you can't see a way that your current revenue would sustain building a team around you. And so I see that as one of the biggest impediments to growth that people have to overcome, is looking at the money that you're spending, looking at the money that you're earning, and trying to it's almost like you try and run really fast and get really, really busy and get to a point where now you really totally need an assistant, but then you don't have the time to train them and put them in place properly. Whereas if you looked at it and were thinking about investing in advance, investing in preparation for growth and increased business, you look at it and take the 30, 60, 90-day view that you're building a capability that's going to take you to the next level that might be 12 months or 18 months away. So that kind of thought process is really the key to really starting growth. So I'm going to continue to share as we go all of the things that I'm observing, all the things that we're doing, and you can watch it, and I'll put up a quarterly report here and kind of show you what's been going on and how you can model that if you want to kind of follow along at home. So that's my little sermonette for today. We've got time for some questions. If you've got any questions that you have or anything you'd like to talk about, you can press *6 on your phone and that will bring you into the queue here, and I'll see that you've raised your hand. Let's see, what else is, we've just started now October 3rd, 4th, 5th, around that area is the weekend that we've chosen for the fall I Love Marketing Conference. And again, we'll be doing what we did last year doing our Academy Day attached to the I Love Marketing event. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to join us then. We're going to do the event on the 3rd and 4th, and then Friday will be a all-day event just for real estate agents. So we always have a good time at those, and I'll look forward to seeing you guys there, and I'll get you all the details as we get closer. Okay, so here's our first question.
Hi, Dean. This is Lynette Williams out in Pasadena, California.
How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question about the MarketWatch email and newsletter. So the communities that they have to choose from are different communities. Do you do a MarketWatch for each community or a MarketWatch in general?
Well, typically what we do is not have an area that is so big that it would be unwieldy to do multiple market watches. We have one market watch for Winter Haven, but the areas that people can choose are sort of neighborhoods within that. So everything is, we don't do four different market watches. We do them for one that is for the entire area that we cover.
Okay.
So within, if you were doing Pasadena, for instance, are there neighborhoods that you've had them choose within Pasadena?
Well, that was the situation. I do Pasadena, but I'm also on the border of Northeast Los Angeles, so the communities I have are both Pasadena and Northeast Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so what you want to do, there's plenty of business in Pasadena, in your area. And one of the things that you want to do is initially when you're starting, all the keywords that you're bidding on, I'm sure, are Pasadena related. And all the people that are coming there are specifically looking for Pasadena, but maybe may go out into those outlying areas. But you can certainly draw them in because of Pasadena, and I would focus all my attention on just doing a great market watch just for Pasadena, and then occasionally within your newsletter saying, if you're interested in areas surrounding Pasadena, let me know and I can do a custom search for you,
Okay. I like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Dean, Jim Costello in Tampa. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. I've got a question for you. One of my realtors was out showing properties and with a out-of-towner, and he probably took her out about 5 days, the couple. And so it was pretty labor-intensive, but we signed the contract, and we're going through with it and everything now. But
good,
my question,
good.
Yeah, so I'm kicking around a couple different ideas. One idea would be to get my real estate license and hire a showing agent.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
Okay. The second idea would be to either with my realtor partner see if we could pool our resources and then have him hire a showing agent, and then we pool all the funds and all the expenses together. Do you think
that's a
good idea to go that direction? Because here's the thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I know he's got his clients that he's having to handle as well as these, and it just seemed like, I don't know if this is going to be typical that these out-of-towners are going to take that much time, or You know, I don't. What's
your
experience?
Well, you never know. I mean, you never. You can never say more than the. You know, there's no typical, but we've had situations even here where people have looked at one house and put in an offer that day. So you, it all balances out, you know.
Okay. So my question on that end would be, should I go towards ramping up as like a partnership and then hire a showing agent, or should I just do it the way I'm doing now? And by the way, I'm wanting to approach him too about kicking in for the marketing costs as well. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for that, you know. Like, and I think if you can set up a nice arrangement with the realtor, now they've had a success story with this. They've had, you know, they know that the people that you're going to be sending them are people who buy homes, and they're going to be, you know, more than happy to continue in that kind of relationship, and they'd probably be more than happy to contribute to some of the marketing for that, you know. I think that's a great arrangement. And as a lender, you know, you've got, I think, the opportunity to partner with other people. Like, you know, once you get everything going here and you've got kind of your website into now where it's you're in profitability, it's self-sustaining. You know, you've made more money than you've spent. It might make sense to look at getting additional websites in surrounding communities or other areas where you serve and partnering with people. We've got Jim McQuaig in Virginia, in DC, just started. He just bought six websites in six different markets around his area, and he's partnering with realtors. He's actually duplicating the model that we're setting up here in Winter Haven with these realtors up in the Virginia area.
Okay, all right, I got you. But in essence, I might be competing against my own site if, because I've got Tampa.
No, you'd have different, you know, you'd have different communities, you know. Like, we only have one. You wouldn't be competing against your own site because we only have one website per market, you know. So if you've got different markets, like different surrounding markets that are available, that would be the thing that I would be talking about.
All right. Well, like, okay, for instance, I've got Tampa. Tampa covers a big area. So
Yes.
then you would say slice it up into different areas. So
Right. Like,
like
there are.
New Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, whatever the other available markets are. I'm not sure of the suburbs of Tampa or the adjoining areas of Tampa.
Right. Okay. All right. So the better approach would be to, getting back to my original question, would be to go and get them participating on the marketing end of it, expand out to other areas, and then partner up with other realtors,
Yeah,
and then all.
I think that would be a great opportunity. Rather than, you know, you getting your real estate license and trying to manage that part of it as well, I think it'd probably be a good thing that you could manage the connecting and bonding like you're doing now, and then, you know, introducing them to the realtor when they're ready to actually start looking, you know.
Okay. All right. That sounds good, Dean. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
Well, Dean?
This is Matthew Greenberg
Hi, how are you?
of Beverly Hills. Did you hear
It's
we've got a
here.
new friend for you out in Pasadena?
It's another world away. It's another world away. I couldn't tell you the last time I was in Pasadena. So, you know, we're very compartmentalized here. You know, while it may
I
be
know,
close
exactly.
geographically by freeway traffic, it's, you know, the other end of the earth. Anyhow, a couple of things. I wanted to once again say I put up a posting for an accountability partner and got zero response. So I am going to challenge everybody out there because I just heard you talk about all the steps that you're doing, and I know sure well I'm not doing them. And if there's,
Right.
I know sure well I'm not doing them. So if there's anybody out there that can look themselves in the mirror and go, I'm doing everything Dean's doing, don't bother to contact me. Otherwise, you know, we all can be getting more out of our websites. And regarding people asking about the weekly MarketWatch email, you know, I've got several different sites. I do a different MarketWatch email for each site. So they get different highlighted listings. The body of the letter, whatever the nice, you know, touchy-feely letter is the same for all of them. So I do one thing and then cut and paste that and then do separate, you know, different highlighted thing for each individual website. And then I cross link them. So if you're looking in one, you can see that there's links to others. I don't hide it. Just you and I send my emails out on Tuesday afternoons. I got 800 hits the first 24 hours this week, 798.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Also, just a success story to get everybody motivated. Last night, finally, encounter number 6, got an English couple that are relocating from Dubai. We just got an acceptance offer on all cash, $1,775,000.
That's great. Good for you. Perfect.
So there is stuff out there, and it's kind of interesting. We, you know, somebody, a couple from England living in Dubai, came to the website and, you know, signed the contract, and here we go. I've also been on the phone with Dubai 3 times already this morning, but that's another story.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Anyhow, all right, so if anyone wants to go look, I am, you know, the posting is still there on the daily dashboard. I'm looking for someone because I used to be really, really good at following all the steps, and I know that I'm really bad.
Good. Well,
so all right. Have a great day. Say hi to us, Tony, for me, Dean.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye. Okay, guys. This is our last one that's queued up here, but if you have other questions or you want to say something, *6 on your phone while I'm talking here. Hello.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
This is Terrence Quazier from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I've heard all
well,
the people from California.
Exactly.
I've got a question, Dean. I'm in a smaller market.
Okay.
And,
what's smaller mean to you? What does smaller mean?
Smaller meaning the big markets that are on the south and north of me are Milwaukee, Wisconsin to the north, and Chicago, Illinois to the south. And in between
there. And what's the population
there,
of yours?
The population is under 100,000.
That's not a small market. You're fine.
Okay.
A small market to me is 12,000 people or 10,000 people. So you've got a town of, like, is the name, is Kenosha, is that the town that is?
It's the city,
what's
yeah.
the population? What's the city? What's the population?
Kenosha is about 80,000.
80,000. That's big. That's plenty big.
Okay. Well, then
okay.
The question I really wanted to ask, because of where I work, even before finding your product, we often cross boundaries into Racine County, which is just to
yeah.
the north, and I've found myself, because it's very competitive in this little
uh-huh.
market, working the entire county.
Right, exactly.
So the question then is there a way, or would you recommend blending my site to incorporate the Racine area
no,
as well
as the
commercial? No?
No, not at all. And you're going to have people that ultimately will tell you that they'll consider those other areas, but you want to go full steam ahead in attracting people who want to be in Kenosha, you know, that there are, that's a big enough market that there's lots of activity, even of people moving within Kenosha, you know, that you're going to have, you've got people coming from out of town, you've got people moving around within town, and 100,000 or 80,000 people is enough that there are even distinct markets within Kenosha. I mean, you know, there are people who, once they really decide that Kenosha is the area, just like even Winter Haven. I mean, Winter Haven, the population here is only about 60,000, but it's clearly divided into quadrants. You know, I mean, I live in
right.
southeast Winter Haven, which is, you know, one portion of Winter Haven. And it's the you know, somebody who's living in Southeast Winter Haven, they're not the same person who's interested in Northwest Winter Haven, you know? And I'm sure that it's exactly the same within Kenosha. Now, when you've got a town as big as that, too, there are probably other even more niche opportunities for you. Like with a town that's a population of 80 or 100,000, there's probably a couple or 3,000 townhomes or condos as one potential segment of that market even.
Yeah,
I don't know whether
the condo section is huge.
So there's lots of that even narrowing your focus even more is a big opportunity. If I were in Kenosha right now, I would be doing exactly what I'm doing in Winter Haven here. I would be looking for the segments of the market that I could completely dominate. So I look at the most desirable thing in Winter Haven is lakefront homes. So I, you know, looked at that, and we chose to plan to completely dominate the lakefront market. It's the most expensive things in Winter Haven. It's the thing that is kind of like the attraction to this area. I know Wisconsin has a lot of lakes. Are there a lot of lakes in Kenosha too? Or
yes, yeah, but
so there are a lot of lakes.
Real estate
properties?
On a lot of the lakes here is not. Yeah, they're not all that great.
No, okay.
You know, our
okay, no,
lakes
I don't know.
Down in this area are kind of.
Okay, so that's not a desirable thing, but
no.
Maybe the townhomes might be a nice segment of the market too, and I would look at, you know, completely choosing a segment of the market that I could do the getting listings program to find all those sellers, and I would certainly be doing the same thing to find buyers for townhouses.
Right.
Just like we do your guide to Kenosha real estate prices, I would take that same model and do that same thing for townhomes and say, you know, do the guide to Kenosha townhomes, because people who are looking at
Is that an offering in the website, or would we have to change that dialogue up somehow to make that an offer?
Exactly, that I think you can do on Craigslist and on those kind of things to set up people, you know, looking for specific things and send them to a landing page on your site. That would be, because we've got Craigslist landing pages for you, you know, so you know that everybody coming there would be drawn by the townhouses.
Whatever
now,
headline.
Are there a lot of foreclosures in your market?
Yeah, we're devastated by that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
there's
a
lot
sell?
Of new. They do sell eventually. Yeah, so I guess that's.
I mean, people want
to. We haven't gotten to that in our Project Cyrus yet, so that's the other thing
good.
I was waiting on. The foreclosure list that we got to build.
yeah. Well, that's the thing you've got, and so you've got the opportunity that. You know, I share all of these things with you to kind of create a big vision, and I get excited about it for you too. But the reality is, it's like, you know, you've got everything you need right there in Kenosha. You don't need to feel like you've got a small market. You've got probably the ideal size market, because it's big enough that there's lots of activity, yet it's small enough that you can handle the whole Kenosha market, you know?
Right. Well, that's the reason why I was wondering if I can open it up. Or should I open it up to? Because our communities that reach out of Kenosha are where I was deriving a lot of my business. Like Silver Lake is in Kenosha County, but it's not in the city of Kenosha, and it's about 10 minutes away. And then you got Paddock Lake, and then you got these other communities, Salem. That was the reason why, instead of hitting the subdivisions in the city of Kenosha, I was wondering if I could open it to the cities in Kenosha County, which are within 10-15 minutes of where I'm located.
You know, and those are all some of those. If those markets are over 10,000 people, they're under. So if, you know, some collection of those might be your growth opportunity, you know, to have multiple websites. And we've got a lot of people who have have multiple sites as well. But there's plenty in Kenosha, and
sure,
let's get you up and profitable and doing deals and multiplying money in Kenosha, and then start looking at what your growth strategy is.
Okay. I got one last question, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Other question is more toward looking at the website to get it organically higher in the searches. I know we don't do anything
anything,
and I was wondering
like that.
Okay.
Now, I don't do anything like that because the SEO stuff is so volatile. You know, it's constantly changing, and what works now doesn't work 6 months from now, and all the constant changes that you have to do to your site to continue to get it to have the right keyword density or to get rid of your backlinks or get the right backlinks or do all of that stuff. It's so labor-intensive and unpredictable that it doesn't make any economic sense to do it. You know, people get the sense that organic traffic is free, but it's far from free because you definitely have to put in the time and effort to do it or pay somebody to do it. And it's, you know, we've been doing this exactly the same way now since as long as the pay-per-click model has been available without having to change anything because it is so predictable. It's so clean. You put in the money, they send you the traffic, you convert it, and everybody's happy. So it's like it's so much more of a sustainable model.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
I'm excited.
Well, thank you,
Dave. You're excited. Good.
Yeah. I'm still plunking away, and you know, although I got a little underwater last week, I'm trying to get myself above water so I can stay on top of all this.
Good.
Thanks very
Darren.
Much. All right.
Bye. Okay. Any other questions or anything you want to talk about? *6 on your phone. I don't know whether I told you guys this. I went up to Nashville. I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago. Between our last call, I think, and we got to go to the Dave Ramsey, his big office building, and he's built a big new house up there in Nashville. He's good friends with Mike Hardwick, who owns Churchill Mortgage up in Nashville, who are one of my clients. So I was up there working on some marketing with them, and so we got to stop by, and that's quite an operation that Dave has there. He's got about 300 people that work, you know, all driven by his radio show there, and I didn't realize it, but he's actually got the third highest radio audience in the country behind Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and that's kind of an interesting thing, but he's been doing it now for 20 years. And incredible to see what's the kind of operation organization that he's built up around the ideas of financial peace. And so it's kind of motivating and exciting. Okay, no further questions. *6 on your phone. Last call. Going once. Going twice. Sold. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks for calling in. We will talk to you next time. And happy Easter. Bye-bye.